Good morning. Today is Wednesday, February the 3rd. Joining us this morning, newly minted supervisor. How's it? Huh? Anybody called you that one yet?
Not yet.
All right. Michelle Bushnell. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, I don't know if anybody has talked about one of the traditions that we do to start each show.
No.
But I can tell by your response that this is going to be first run down the trail. So, okay. Here we go. Ever wonder why the press is called the Fourth Estate?
No.
Okay. Any idea why it might be called the Fourth Estate?
No.
All right. Well, direct and honest. This could be a very long show. All right. In the days of feudalism, the word estate meant any of three social classes having a great influence on political affairs. These classes were the church, the nobility, and the common people. In England, around the 19th century, it became apparent that there was another estate also exercising influence over public affairs, and that estate was the press. In 1828, Thomas Macaulay, oh man, this would have been perfect for Billy yesterday. Oh well, okay. Thomas Macaulay, referring to the Reporters' Gallery in Parliament, wrote in the Edinburgh Review, "The gallery in which the reporters sit has become a fourth estate of the realm." Thus began the practice of referring to the press as the fourth estate.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, most of these things are pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Maybe kind of trivial, but they are kind of out there. Oh, now you're going to take and read up on it.
Yeah, now I'm going to study.
Oh, boy. So other than coming from the second, somewhere in that great part of the county, I would suspect a good chunk of our folks might be beginning to recognize your name. Other than that, who is this gal?
So yes, name recognition a little bit, but not knowing the face because of COVID, it's still an interesting process for me. I'm a fourth generation Southern Humboldt resident. My great grandfather lived in Eureka, born in Eureka, and was a postmaster in Eureka, and then moved to Harris.
So was he before Al Houle? Must have been.
Yeah, I think so.
30s, 20s?
Yeah, 20s. 20s.
Okay.
Yeah. He was postmaster at Harris I can't remember the year they moved up there, but in the early, early 20s, him and my grandmother had the stage stop and post office there. And
now, that's cool. Being able to say that, that's cool.
Yeah, and my great grandmother is from Petrolia area, so those are my bloodlines, per se. And they were sheep ranchers and had a little ranch up there. And then I was, my grandfather was born and raised there, and my dad was born up in Harris, and yeah, so I'm a long time, been around here a long time. I came from a ranching, logging family, and...
So when somebody says Blue Slide Road, yeah, I played on it.
So I grew up in the 70s, 80s in Southern Humboldt, and I went to Suffolk High School and graduated in 1988 and started working right after that and having kids right after that.
Aha. Okay, now I've pegged you. You're 10 years younger than me.
Yep.
I was Eureka High 78.
Okay, so. There you go, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we ever played South Fork.
No, you guys were a little too big and we were a little too small.
Yeah. You must have seen the changes coming through the part of the county also. I tell folks that are newly arrived to the area. Yeah, I can tell you when marijuana hit Eureka High, mm-hmm. spring of 77. No doubt in my mind. Okay. You were in the middle of it all as things were changing and shifting, and you went from rancher, probably the most redneck part of the county in the 60s to something far not redneck at this point. When somebody would ask you the personality of Southern Humboldt, how do you describe Southern Humboldt to somebody that may have only watched the TV series and had that perspective or point of view shared, or somebody from the northern part of the county that either remembers the tripwire era or spiking of the trees or things of that nature? How do you describe that part of the second?
So it's kind of a unique perspective for me, even though I grew up, say, in the 80s, because those were my teenage years. But I was raised by my grandparents. And so my grandparents now would have been 96 and 94. So I was raised old school, if you want to say. And when I grew up, it was Garberville was a sweet little town, and lots of little shops, mom and pop shops.
Almost bucolic.
Yeah. And so, you know, we've had a lot of changes down there. And the one thing I can say about Southern Humboldt, regardless, is that the long-term people, even some of the new people, it's a great sense of community if you look for it. If you drive through town, if you just drive through town, you think, what the heck's happened here? Because it, you know, it does not resemble anything of what it used to. And the, and some of the faster-paced people don't take the time to look, and but I live out in the, you know, in the hills. I live on a ranch, really quite far from town, and it's the lifestyle I grew up in, and so to me it's still the same when I'm home. But when I come to town and I have a retail business in Garberville, it's just so different. And so if you just don't take the time to look, it's so much like people don't care down there.
Yeah, transitory.
Very much. Yeah, very much. And one thing when I was growing up, it was a lot of community dances and community this, barbecues and community dinners and that type of thing. And it's very individualism right now. It could be. It's kind of coming back now, the sense of more community events. But that was one thing that really I didn't like about the change in was that, you know, when I used to drive to town, I would know everybody, wave at everybody. Now, for a lot of years,
not so much so. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know. Yeah. I don't know anybody.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Michelle Bushnell out of the 2nd District. Michelle, one of the things, having the agrarian background as well as the roots background, what do you see as the future of Southern Humboldt? I mean, and let's set Fortuna aside for a sec, because that's a little bit, that's a different personality and certainly different challenges and different goals there. But for the unincorporateds of Southern Humboldt, what do you see? I mean, if you had a target to shoot for in 4 years, in 8 years, in 12, in 18, 20, whatever, what is your idyllic picture of Southern Humboldt?
It's kind of interesting because...
So, boy, the old deer in the headlight, like, what?
Southern Humboldt is as diverse as... they come. And so you have still your ranchers, although not as many as when I was growing up, your loggers. There's still that group of people, your mom and pop stores in town, and then the new entity, which is cannabis. And Southern Humboldt is very prominent for that. And with the legalization, you have those entities coming in and they're finding their place.
Are they assimilating into the community, or are they coming in as more investment capital and big splash, big glitz, and you know, they go back to wherever they made their money and they just kind of have people here operating?
Well, you know, it's interesting because Southern Humboldt people, the people that have been there for that are making a go of the cannabis industry, are resisting the new people coming in, and they're trying to preserve that legacy. You know, they have the ones that we do have, we have, you know, some dispensaries that are have storefronts and some farmers down there that are very prominent and involved in our community. Cannabis has made Southern Humboldt go around for many, many years, whether it would be behind the scenes or people were more outspoken about it and said, here's what I am. And now finding their way in a legal entity business and finding their spot publicly has been very interesting. And they're amazing people. They're very community driven. They sponsor our events. Now can claim it where, you know, their claim before was more anonymous as far as like with our nonprofits. And so it's really interesting, the stories and their stories are interesting and very intriguing to listen to. And finding their spot amongst the ranchers and the loggers and the, as you want to categorize it, normal entities is interesting. So for Southern Humboldt, I would love to do some curbside cleaning of our community, make our storefronts and our little town beautiful again, because it has gone through a really transitional time.
Break out the hoses and that's one of the memories I have of San Francisco back when it was, I would not say normal, but let's just say more inviting.
Yeah.
Back in the 70s.
Yeah. We'd
go down for a ball game, and there was, I think I've shared this one on air a couple of times. There was a flower shop. We had the place we stayed was called the Manx, a half block off Union Square, down towards O'Farrell. So it was kind of, didn't even realize what tenderloin meant. We kind of figured that one out.
Yeah.
It was between O'Farrell and Kearney on Powell. On the other side, where Macy's is right across the street, around the corner, there was a guy who had a little flower shop. And it's ingrained in my mind. I can remember Saturday mornings and Sunday mornings, he would be out there hosing down the sidewalk. I thought it was just cleaning off the dust, and at that time it pretty much was.
Yeah.
And getting things ready for business and cleaning it up. And his flower stand was small, but it was as tight as it could be.
Yep.
And you would see people lining up as they were getting at the bus stop. They were also buying flowers. I mean, he had that about that situation. That's what I see for small business retail.
Yep.
But somehow it's evolved to, well, I don't own the sidewalk, so those weeds that are in the gutter aren't my responsibility.
Absolutely.
Well, the dust that's on the wall, that's the landlord that should come by and have my building cleaned.
Yep.
Et cetera, et cetera. Instead of this, I guess it's just simple pride. Pride in ownership and presentation of your facility. And I just don't get it. It's like having sun-faded clothing in your windows.
Yep.
You do what you're supposed to do, and that's kind of what I'm hearing you say, too. You're supposed to do what you're supposed to do.
Well, it's kind of funny that you say washing the sidewalks, because I do have a retail business in Southern Humboldt. I don't own the building or the sidewalks, but every Sunday I would wash down my building and the cobwebs and the sidewalks and try to, you know, so much of what is inside of a store is part of the outside of the store. And if you don't present that well, nobody wants to come inside. And Southern Humboldt has amazing people down there. We have amazing cute shops. But if you drive through and you don't stop, you don't see that. So my vision for that, and so many people's down there also, community people that are staying, is that pride, that sense of pride of our town. And, you know, we get
almost a gritty pride.
It's
kind of how I sense, you know, we're going to overcome.
Yes, yes. And people like me that have been there my whole life remember back when, you know, when there was a Foxy Threads and this and, you know, those types of flowers out in front of the stores, because we don't have that now. And so it's that's my vision, is just to have sense of pride of our community and to be able to drive through our community and someone from San Francisco is like, wow, this is a great little town.
This is cool. I discovered something rather than I found something. And
yes.
Yeah, moving on out. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. call Bear Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bear Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Michelle Bushnell. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and Baywood Golf and Country Club. Michelle, considering some of the different aspects of the 2nd District, okay, we've kind of talked about southern Humboldt, but you also got Fortuna. Mm-hmm. Now, some may say it's gerrymandered, but yeah, okay. But it's a different community. Entirely.
Yep.
I hesitate to use the word metropolitan, but I know Merritt would be smiling wildly. But it's just different. How about density? The density is different. Okay. Different challenges, different problems. Can the 2nd District be seen as a single entity, or is it a series of subsets that is going to keep you kind of dancing a faster pace?
If you ask the constituents of the 2nd District, no, it's not one. You can't see it as one. If you ask me as their supervisor and their representative, I can tell you that the issues, while can be different, equally revolve back to the same thing. They want success for their communities. They want success for their towns, unincorporated or incorporated. And how you go about that and how you address those problems as a supervisor are similar, the same. Fortuna and Riedel being incorporated are so different than Southern Humboldt, Dinsmore, those areas that rely more on county police, Humboldt County Police.
Yeah, basic services.
Basic services, the unincorporated areas rely on Humboldt County, and the incorporated areas have their own. And so they're able to control their environment more than the unincorporated areas, which for me, I feel gives them a leg up. I go to Riedel and I go to Fortuna often, now, and did before. And I just see different things.
Well, now you're looking at it different, too.
I am looking at it different. I think, why are they able to do, okay, let's say, not have so prevalent homelessness in Fortuna and Riedel? That's because they have city police. They have more of them, and they can control that environment more. Where Southern Humboldt and the outlying areas that are unincorporated rely more on the Humboldt County Sheriff's Department with different sets of rules.
The move-along factor also.
Yes, I mean, the move-along factor. Yeah. And let's figure out what you need to... There are more services in Riedel and Fortuna, and they can target that, especially with someone houseless or however you want to categorize that person, and figure out what's going to make them not be on the streets in those communities. It tends to not work so well in our Southern Humboldt area, where we have a lot of houseless people, and we do have some really great nonprofits down there that help. But as far as services, organized services, we don't have that. Fortuna has.
So do you think that's an attractive element for some of that homeless population, that they don't want to? Okay. Or do you think that that's something that would be reversible if those services were made available?
I think it's reversible if the services were made available. I also believe that when you're given a choice, one or two choices, do this or do this, you're going to have to pick one. And often in the incorporated areas, those are your choices, and because you are able to control that environment more. In Southern Humboldt, you're told to do this possibly once in a while, and then it's not reinforced.
The follow-up.
Yeah. And I think the services are needed. It's just that it's a very south end of the county, and it's remote from Eureka, that has more services available. So You know, Fortuna is a great little town. I'm really enjoying getting to know everybody, and the sense of community there is so big. I've been talking with, you know, the council and the mayor. I listen to their meetings. I feel I need that information. I think it's my responsibility anyways as their representative to know what their issues are. But I have learned so much from their council meetings.
You mean you're not meeting doubt already? I mean, it's been 4 weeks here. Geez.
I know. It gives me the information I need. It gives me the content that I need to be thinking about for those towns. And it also gives me reinforcement that we're all the same, even though we're different. So I'm enjoying that. I do have hours in Fortuna on Thursdays at the Betts Hall so that I can meet people. COVID's been an interesting thing, being a brand new supervisor. Nothing is normal.
So, but you don't have normal references, though.
No, I don't have.
So you're kind of fresh. You know, you're being the fresh kid.
Yes.
It's a little different than everybody else that says, I wish we could.
I'm not missing it because I've never had it.
Right.
So it's going to be brand new to me again when we go back into chambers. It's going to be, oh, okay, this is different.
That's the rancher mentality.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time is 8:41.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning with Michelle Bushnell. Typically, I'll ask folks, what's the big thing? You know, everybody's got the big thing. And I think a lot of folks, if they spend any time, realize, well, the big thing might be a 10-year project down the road. Ain't going to take care of that in the next little bit. But that sense of community that you were talking about, is there a need to foster it a little bit more in the different communities? How you get there, I don't know, but I'm Fortuna, you'd mentioned Garberville, okay, some of the smaller little communities, okay. One of the things that I have lamented about Eureka, having grown up here, is that there is no sense of community. There's no plaza like Arcata has, or you know what McKinleyville has now, and Fortuna there is no there, you know. And because so many people come and work in Eureka from points outside of Eureka, weekends and nights, it's radically different. Wait, wrong word anymore, I suppose. But anyway, we'll go with it. And so there's no there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You jealous? Yeah, fine. So is that one of the things you're looking for, is to help bolster and support and cultivate even even more?
Yes.
Community sense in each of these communities in the second?
Yes, and I believe the communities in the second crave that. They crave the sense of community, the sense of this is what we've always done. One thing that I really, as I've been have grown up here and I became a business owner of several different entities, and I've noticed that in the second district specifically, there's a lot of individualism with communities, and that is they're proud of. Shelter Cove is proud of what they're proud of, and Rio Dell is proud of what they're proud of. But I would like to put that out in our community that Fortuna, come to Shelter Cove. It's a great place. And we tend to stay within our own areas, and Humboldt County is not that large, and know your
depends camp. On who you talk to.
Well, I mean, it is.
Grew up in Fort, I can remember thinking that Fortuna was a time zone away.
Yes, yeah.
Okay. And part of it, I think, is the cultural identity that each community has that you're trying to foster.
Yep.
But also the attraction to say, you know, you don't have to drive to Santa Rosa to buy something.
Yeah.
Or Redding to buy something.
Yeah.
There are choices here if people know that these choices exist.
True. One thing I would really like to be helpful with in my district especially is I don't want to... it's hard for me when I hear Southern Humboldt mentioned and they go, ooh, ew, I don't want to go down there. I would love to bond that to be able to be a breach for that and say, you know, we have a great rodeo too, you know, and we're, so you say we're large, but in the sense of it, we're so small and we're dependent on everybody's involvement to make events and our community successful. So if we could bridge those gaps, it would make our Humboldt County much more healthier. You're talking about individual, or Eureka doesn't have that sense of community. And I think they try to in Old Town. They have the, you know, Old Town stuff that goes on there.
There's some activities.
There's
sure.
some activities there. But I think it's up to our leaders, if you so say, and that could be your town leaders or your prominent business people or your prominent people in general that bridge those gaps to make each area successful on their own, but successful in our county also. I think it's very important, and I would like to foster that, as you say, in the 2nd District. You know, Bridgeville, tons of people haven't been to Bridgeville. But they have a little bridge.
Heard about the bridge.
The bridge.
That's about it.
Well,
yeah.
They have a bridge fest out there. Yeah. It's pretty amazing, actually. Yeah. Blocksburg has a harvest fair. That's awesome. But these smaller, you know, these smaller places are so dependent on their individual people. But I would love to share that with the 2nd District.
Kind of like a fire department's
yeah.
fundraiser. You know,
yep.
it's just the
yeah.
those folks. But yeah, there's potentials.
There is potential.
Yeah. I'm thinking personally of the West Haven Blackberry Festival and yeah. pies, but we'll talk about that later on. Nice to have you in.
Thank you.
See
Thanks
you next
for
month.
Having me.
All righty. See everybody tomorrow.